we proceed with the Vilna Gaon in Yeshayahu. Pasuk says, V'haya kinar v'nevel toif v'cholul v'yayin mishtehem. These are people who are interested in drinking. These are Sybarites, people who are involved in dance and music and drinking. V'espoel Hashem lo yabitu u'maise yodov v'choyvo. And the Pasuk unfortunately continues, Pasuk Yud Gimel, Lachein gola ami mibli das. Mibli das means the reason that they were goyla was because they lacked das. A person doesn't understand his priorities, doesn't understand what is important and what's not important. You know, the Zayda always used to say, and I mentioned this a number of times, if you say it in English, it doesn't make an impression, but if you say it in Polish, the way he used to say it, it makes a roshem. That the whole of Yiddishkeit is divided into two principles. The first one is bonch mondra. That means in Polish, be smart. Those are the mitzvahs I say. And the opposite, of course, is don't be stupid. But in Polish, nie bądź głupi, took me about 2 years to figure out exactly how to pronounce that głupi, you know, by the way. But nie bądź głupi, it means don't be stupid. That's all the mitzvahs loisa say. And the Zayda used to repeat it all the time, the Rav Spiegel, the Ostrov Kalashina Rebbe, Zichrono Livracha L'chai Olam Haba. The point of this is that every time there's golos, it's mibli das. That's yiyush ishaloi midas, you know. So this is mibli das. What is it that they did not do? So the pasuk of Ahayachinor says, number one, ves poel Hashem lo yabitu, and number two, ves maise yodov lo yro. So zok drashi, ves poel Hashem lo yabitu, he looks at the Targum, and the Targum says, ubay raisa da Hashem lo yistakolu. The poel Hashem does not mean the creation. It means what preceded the creation. They did not look at that which HaKadosh Baruch Hu used to create the world itself, the Torah. They did not attend to the Torah. U'maisa yodov loyrohu, v'oivat gvurte, says the Targum. V'oivat gvurte. What's oivat gvurte, of course? They didn't see his gvurois. Rashi says, what do you mean they didn't see it? But you do see it. Asu atzmam ke'ilu loyro. That's what Rashi says. The Gra, in his classic fashion, and you read this Gra, and you have to be made out of stone not to properly appreciate the incredible scope of the Gra and his ability literally to use the material of Torah almost at will, to explain and expound and make connections which we would never have imagined. What does the Gra say? That if you look at the two words, there's yabitu and there's ro'u. Both of them are associated with seeing with one's eyes. But what's the difference between the two? And then there's poel and maisa. What's the difference? Both are associated with an activity of Hashem, of course. What is the difference between the two? So the Gaon, let's begin and read it mamish inside. Ves poel Hashem lo yabitu v'goymer. Oymer kan poel umaisa. V'gabe pula omar lo yabitu. V'gabe maisa omar lo yro'u. Why? V'hu al derech mashekosuv ki simachtani Hashem befo'alecho. Umaisa yodecho arane. The first thing that the Gaon did for us was that he noticed that there is another pasuk, and that pasuk is very familiar to us, which has first the word poel and also maaseh, maaseh yadayim. Ki simachtani Hashem befo'alecho ubemaaseh yodecho aranein. Oma gabi pu'ula simcha v'gabe maisa rina. Zok de Gra. I'll give you another pasuk, which has simcha and rina. You see what the Gaon was doing here? He connects three psukim. But how does he do it? This pasuk has maisa and poel. The other pasuk has ma'is and poel. The other pasuk has ma'is and poel associated with rina and simcha. So what he did was, he took a third pasuk, which also associated with rina and simcha. Which pasuk is that? Ivdu es Hashem b'simcha, bo lefan of birnana. Omar ha-simcha la-avoida, u-bibiya rinana. V'hainu al-pimashikosu b'zoya. And we once learned, when I say learned, I mean on the surface, the nigla of the Zohar. We once learned this Zohar, that the idea of this pasuk is simcha and rina. Simcha is b'tzafra u-rinana b'ramsha. Kumi raini balayla. Rina is associated with the nighttime. Simcha is associated with the morning. From dawn till dusk is simcha. Night is already rina. And he writes, Ki pa'ula nemar al inyan bilti nireis biri'iya ba'alma ki'im acharei ha'bota v'histaklus heitev. He says that there's certain kinds of observations that you can make which instantaneously provide you with some measure of comprehension, and certain things that require iyun and require a deeper level of comprehension. When we speak about the word poel, poel, pa'ula, whenever you speak about the pa'ula of Hashem as opposed to the ma'aseh of Hashem, when we speak about the pu'ula of Hashem, Zakhtagra Nachamol, that the lashon of pu'ula is Nemar al Inyan Bilti Nires. So he connects it to Habata, because Habata is the deeper looking into things with the penetrating eye. So the word in our pasuk, Espayel Hashem Lo Yabitu, they didn't look with that discerning, penetrating eye which goes deeper into the Inyan, because it was the pile of Hashem that they're looking at, which is not so easy, it's not so visible. Of course, if that's the case, what's Ma'ase Yodav Loiro? And even Ma'ase Yodav Loiro, meaning, even something that you can see more readily on the surface, and doesn't require habata, but is satisfied with Re'iyah does the job, Af al Pikein Ma'ase Yodav Loiro, they didn't even do that. Because Nevel, Kinar, and Yayin are their business, and they were Nigla, they went into Golus, because they had no Das. They simply didn't chap the Inyan. What's Ikar and what's Tafel, what's Choshev and what's Shtus. But that's the difference, he says, between Payel and Maisa, between Habata and Re'iyah. Now he's Masbir. And he says, let's skip the parentheses for a moment. V'zesha Omar, a few lines down, after the closed parentheses here in the Bir Mehagro on Yishayahu, V'zesha Omar, the pasuk ki eresh amecha ma'asetz bosecha v'chulu yoreach koychovim, avol ha'shemesh loy nire lehedya. Now, I pointed out the first time that we learned this quite a long time ago, that the Shemesh is not invisible in the sense that we're not aware of it. Of course, we are more aware of it and its impact upon us than we are of the Oreach and the Kochavim, without a doubt. In fact, the impact of the Oreach and the Kochavim is infinitely more subtle. You have to worry about the tides and other things. But this is not talking about impact. This talks about visibility. And ironically, precisely because of the power of the sun and its impact, it is really not visible, because no one can look at the sun. A person looks up at the sun and he becomes blind. So there's no possibility for really seeing the sun, as it were. Masha'en ken yoreach and kochavim, there's no problem, unless of course you live in Los Angeles, then you'll never see it. But the normal people in a normal circumstance in the middle of the desert, you can look up and you see a myriad stars and you see the moon in its glory, and it is something that you will notice and you will see and you will be able to observe readily. The son, ironically, you have to infer and impute what it really looks like, because you will not be able to see the son because you can't look at the son. That's the nekuda. You cannot look at the son. So he says what seems to be counterintuitive. That's why I'm emphasizing it so much. You'd think that the son is adaraba, visible. The son itself is not visible. The impact of the son is visible. The light, the warmth, the strength, the rays, but the son itself is not visible. Zok the goy. V'zeh shama ki ere shamecha. When it speaks about when I see your skies, maaseh etzbeisecha, with a lashon of re'iyah, which means I see it instantaneously, I see it immediately, then I can only see your reyach v'koychavim. He's asking Akasha, if you speak about what's going on in the heavens, you don't mention the sun. Why don't you mention the sun? The Teretz says, because we're speaking about a re'iyah situation. In re'iyah, it's your reyach v'koychavim. It's very interesting. You can't look up and say how beautiful the sun is, how magnificent the sun is. You can only say how powerful it is. But you can look up and say, that's a gorgeous moon tonight. Now, people go out and they say, there's a beautiful moon out tonight. All right, the moon and the stockless in the moon, it's associated with Avodah Zarah and so on and so forth. When you make the bracha, you don't face the moon, but the fact of the matter is, the moon is beautiful. And a starry night, you look up at the sky and all the stars twinkle at you. It's also an atmospheric phenomenon. But the maisa, the re'iyah shabai, is very, very superficial. Do we really know what's going on in that star? Do we understand its power? Do we understand its authority? Do we understand anything about it that the astronomer can tell me? No. But it's pretty. It's like a gorgeous tapestry across the sky. And it twinkles, and it's exciting. Re'iya ba'alma. The shemesh is never re'iya ba'alma. It can't be, because a person goes blind. Zok de gra. And that's why it says Bishakris Bizrichas Hashemeshu Inyan Poyel Hashem Ubitzafra Simcha Omar Simachtani Hashem before Lecha Uberam Sharina. Why? Because it's Laest Seis Yareach the Kochovim and the Kroim Maisa Hashem for Omar Ubermaisi Yodecha Aranin. So it's Gewaldike use of the Zoyar and explanation of the Zoyar. Puts all three psukim together in a remarkable way. So Payel has Yabitu, because Payel refers to that which requires deeper understanding and comprehension. And Yabitu is the word that's used for that. Re'iyah ba'alma is associated with Maisa. Kisimachtani Hashem before Alecha, Simcha is associated with that which you cannot easily discern, the tsura of the thing itself, that's the sun, that's Betzafra. Maisa Yodecha, which is Re'iyah Ba'alma, suffices. This is the Yareach V'Koychovim. Aranein is associated with Rina, which is Balayla. Kumi Raini Balayla. The Nekuda, the going continues here. V'zehu Sha'onu Oimrim. So it would have been enough to stop right here to see the glory of the Gra. But then the Gra goes now from Psukim to our Tefillah, which Anshei Knesset HaGdolah was misaken. He says, listen to this. The words in Ata Echad V'Shimcha Echad, Avraham Yogel Yitzchak Yirani. So Gila, he associates as a cognate of Simcha. Rina, we had. Why does it say by Avraham a Lashon of Gila, and by Yitzchak a Lashon of Rina? So everyone else would say, it's very poetic. You can't use the same word twice. So you say, Avram will be happy. Yitzchak will be happy. And Yaakov Avonov, they have the Nachla itself. Yaakov Avonov Yenuchuva. He says, no, there's no such thing. And if Anshei Knesset HaGdolah poured in, Tilei Tilim Shal Kavonis V'Halochis, and all kinds of Torahs, that we are just barely scratching the surface when we say these words, but there's so much there. So he wants to be Megalit to us, a Diuk in what's there. Avraham Yogel, Yitzchak Yirani. Why? Zokta. V'zeshon ha'omrim Avraham Yogel, Hainu, b'tfilah shachris. What was Avraham misaken? Tfilah shachris. What was Yitzchak misaken? Tfilah smincha lifnais erev. So he says, you know why Yitzchak Yirani? Because he's introducing you to the level of Rina, which is Beramsha. And Avraham Avinu is the Simcha of Tapra. Avraham Yogel Yitzchok Yirane. Hainu Bitvila Shachris Sloisad Avraham Azu Gila V'Simcha. You see that he looks at Gila not in the specific definition, not that the Gra doesn't have a specific definition for Gila, but in the context of Yiranein, Gila is the Simcha word. So he says, Avram, it's like it would have said Avram Yismach. So you see, for example, that Simcha and Gila are two separate words. In the Pasuk that we quote when we give the Bracha by a Bris Milah, Yismach avicha v'imecha b'sogel yoladetecha. Yismach avicha v'imecha b'sogel yoladetecha. So the sogel is something other than yismach. Otherwise, why would we say it? But for our purposes here, gila is associated with simcha in contradistinction, apposition to the word rina. So Avram Yogel versus Kilu Yitzchok Yirane. Because one is Betzafra, Tfilah Shachris, one is Tfilah Arvis Lifnois Erev. Erev is the time of Yoreach V'Kochavim. It's the time of Re'iyah, where you can be kind of the picture of the tapestry with a Skira Klolis, a Skira Ba'alma. Masha'en came the sun. You have to impute and infer its tzura because you can never look at it directly. So that's why it requires the lashon of Poyel Hashem and Habata, and that is the lashon of Simcha. Simcha betzafra, renona beramsha. Zok de gravaita. V'hinei b'shachris kasher zayreach ha-shemesh yetzi ha-adam lepa'aloi ulavaydosai adei arev. This, of course, a pasuk in Tehillim. K'she yetzi lavaydosai in barchi nafshi. K'she yetzi lavaydosai asher omar, what does it say b'nagea da'avayda? You know, it's interesting. He is talking about a person's avayda. What do we think of a person's avayda? He goes out in the morning to do his avayda. He's going farming. Zok degro avayda is also associated with avaydas Hashem. Simcha is when you go out in the morning, in the day, Simcha is associated with Avodas Hashem. Where does it say that? Takas Hashalom, Avodas Hashem, Lekecha B'Simcha. Ivdu Es Hashem B'Simcha. Bayu Lefanav is Birinana. Let's explain that, says the Gra. Because Avodah is Bayayim. Let's continue. It says, Yetze Adam Lepa'aloi. You go to your avoda to spend the entire day till the erev. When you return, bayu lefan of bernana. It's very remarkable. Hakayhanim heima keneged Avram, fu keneged shachris amar kayhanim lavaydosam, valeviim keneged Yitzchak beramsha rina. Amar Halevim Lishiram Ulizimram. Vezesh Amar Kan Vespoil Hashem She'eno Nireis Elo La'achre Ha'abota Lo Yabitu Vesmaise Yodov Debir'iyo Ba'alma Sagi Alkein Loiro Alpizem Muvon Debre Chazal Espoil Hashem Lo Yabitu Shaloy Omru Yotzer'or B'Shachris Vesmaise Hashem Lo Yomru Shaloy Omru Mariv Arovim Ba'arvis. This blows a person's mind. Do you realize what the going did? He took a chazal. It's good. He put a chazal all the way at the end, so he's not megalatas his agenda, so we should be even more excited when we arrive at the last stop, because he's not telling us where he's up to. But what did the going do? He took a gemara. He took a chazal. The chazal says that the person who did not say, Yaitza Aravari Chayshech, that's Pail Hashem Lo Yabitu. The person who did not say, Amariv Aravim, Maisa Yodav Loiro. What? What lies in Yotzer Or of the morning and Ma'ariv Arovim of the night that it should dafka be connected in this way? Maybe la'efach. So he says, no, it's bedafka, bedafka, and everything fits together. Tapuche zov b'maskia is kosev dover dover al ofnov. Everything fits. The nigla and the nister, the psukim in Tehillim and the psukim in Yeshayahu, the tefillah that we say, Avram Yogel Yitzchok Yiranein, and finally, the association that is being mentioned in Chazal, Poel Hashem Li Abitu Ma'isiyot of Loro. I might add, even though it's not in this Gra, that if you follow Rashi, it fits perfectly as well. Istakel by Raisa Bara Alma is not something that we can see. It's something that we are obligated to connect to. We are asked to connect the dots. You look at a material world, and the whole of the rest of the world is saying this has nothing to do with Torah, and Torah has nothing to do with the world. And we are told, and that is our Masorah, that somehow the Torah is the blueprint of the world itself. It isn't just the agenda after the world is created. But the Torah was before the world, it's the purpose of the world, but it's also the blueprint of the world. Now, if you need to understand that the Torah is the blueprint of the world, that requires a profound comprehension. That's Poel Hashem Yabitu. It requires a deep and profound analysis. What makes this world tick is not something that is just left to the physicist to discern. It's also a form of Yabitu, granted, because that's also not on the surface. When you look at a piece of wood, you see something hard, you bang your hand on it and it hurts, and you look at a cloud and you know that it's vapor. And then when you start talking to a scientist or a chemist about the different ways that molecules form and bond and what makes an emulsion and what makes this combination and that combination and why it appears this way to us and that way to us, it suddenly discover that there's much more space than there is anything solid in anything at all, including the most dense material. So go figure that out. The eye doesn't see it. The hand doesn't perceive it. But it requires a deeper Havana, and that we can even prove. Imagine what it takes to understand that the Torah is the blueprint of the world, and that's something that we cannot prove without the assistance of the Dvar Hashem itself, Koyach HaNevuah, Ruach HaKodesh, the inspiration of HaKodesh Baruch. It's not a visible thing. It's not a superficial thing. I was thinking also, going back to the Gra and the Chazal, why is it that Poel Hashem is Shachris, and why is this Arvis? It's very interesting. When something becomes suddenly dark, the awareness of its loss is very, very acute, because light becomes dark. When something becomes light, you're so busy with the agenda of using that light that the phenomenon itself is not really appreciated properly. It's a very interesting point, by the way. Because people are absorbed with themselves. What is it doing to me? Darkness envelops me and paralyzes me. Light gives me opportunity. When I have opportunity, I go to my agenda. Yetze Adam Lepa'alai. It's only when it is taken away from me and I have a chance to stop, that is when I have that sense of what is in front of me. So it's bedafka at night. Such a remarkable thing. With the header of light, that I sense what is in front of me. We are fast upon our agenda of finishing Bezus Hashem Yisbarach Yisala. I don't know how I'm going to do that, but we only have 3 psukim left. In the notes that you have in front of you, Mishlei Perek Yud Pasuk Lamed Lamed Aleph Lamed Beis Tzadik La'olam Bal Yimoit Urshayim Lo Yishkenu Aretz Pid Tzadik Yonuv Chochma Ulshon Tapul Chos Tikareis Sifsei Tzadik Yeidu An Rotzayin Ufi Rishayim Tapuchais. 3 psukim which, if you'd ask a person a year later to explain them, repeat them, remember them, is a very difficult task. You know why? Because it's more the Yabitu than the Ro. Because in the Ro, it's, you know what these 3 psukim are telling me? Bunch Mandra and Nivach Gubi. That's what it's telling me. There are tzaddikim who are good and there are Rishayim who are bad. You know, they say about one of the presidents that he was very laconic. He learned this lesson of Le Matzasi Laguf Toiv Mishzika. So he went into this famous preacher, into some galach, and he listened to a whole shmooze over there. And he came out, so they asked him, you know, what did he talk about? So he said, he talked about sin. And they asked him, so, well, what did he say about sin? He says, not good. So this is the way a person This is how a person remembers psukim like this. They remember tzaddikim are good, rishayim are bad. There's good things about tzaddikim mentioned in the pasuk, negative things about rishayim and mefalt vaita. These are psukim that they're not redundant at all. And if you start thinking about it just a little bit, you realize that. But the bottom line is that these are difficult psukim in a certain sense. Because it's not that it's difficult to translate, but even after you've translated them, it's difficult to put them in a package that you can wrap up and take with you. What are the psukim saying? I don't like to use what is it saying to me or what is meaningful to me. Every pasuk is meaningful, and every pasuk is meaningful to somebody and to everybody. What I mean to say is it's a difficult thing to keep a handle on it. It's a difficult thing to keep in your pocket. It evaporates somehow. The mind has an ability to keep strange things easier than simple things. The mind has an ability to keep ideas that have a beginning and an end and a middle easier than what seems to be just a basic fundamental statement, which I pretty much knew already anyhow. So why should I pay attention? And part of the greatness of the Gra, many of them are Farshim, but part of the greatness of the Gra is to show you that you don't even begin to know what you're talking about. And if you start analyzing it a little bit more deeply, then there are eitzvus and eitzvus of Torah, some of which we are allowed to expound upon and some of which we don't have the ability or the time. But let's take a look at the first gra. Bir agra and posuk lamid tzadik la'olam bal yimayt kloimar. Af al pi shalif'omim atzadik mot lifnei arasha avol hu lifi sha. It's only temporary that the tzadik falters. V'loyla oylam, k'moshe kosuv, k'sheva yipol tzadik v'kom. Interesting that it's very rare, by the way, that you'll find that Rashi and the Gros say exactly the same thing. In this particular case, Rashi already quotes sheva yipol tzadik v'kom. In the yipol of a tzadik, there is an aspect of v'kom already, by the way. And everybody knows the famous letter of Rav Huttner, that is the derech of the tzaddik. You know, there's no such thing as just climbing a mountain without from time to time your foot slipping. That demands of you that you should be more secure and you pay more attention, and that's how you climb even higher. In the sheva yipol tzaddik v'kom, in the what you might call the pashuv shah, you don't look at a tzaddik's nefilah as a nefilah that so undermines him that he's broken. What I mean to say is, even if you don't perceive the nefilah as a stepping stone for aliyah, and even if you don't say that it's a prerequisite, the nefilah of a tzaddik has a parachute that a rasha doesn't have. The pasuk says it all in Megillas Esther. Ki nofoil tipoil lefanov. Im mizera Yehudim Mordechai, kasher achiloisa limpoil lefanov loy sucha loy, ki nofoil tipoil lefanov. There's no breaking of the fall, Haman. There's no parachute for you. The nefila of the tzaddik is to destroy the tzaddik. No. You can never say that. You can never say that the nefilah of a tzaddik is to destroy the tzaddik. But the nefilah of a rasha is to destroy the rasha. There's no such thing as a rasha tripping and continuing. The nefilah of the rasha is to destroy the rasha. A tzaddik can trip, but the tzaddik picks himself up and he goes weiter, meaning that he doesn't break all of his bones. As a very interesting notion, which requires a lot more analysis, but let's go weiter in the gra. Avol harishoyim imischilu limpa lo yishkenu od ba'aretz v'lo yosifu lakum. That's ki nafal tipo lefanov. And then he says another pshat. Va'ot she'av she'ata him shochnem ba'aretz lo yishkenu la'olam. In other words, v'rishoyim lo yishkenu ba'aretz means lo yishkenu la'olam va'et. And here, Eretz, of course, refers not just to this world, but it refers to the Eretz Achayim as well. In the next pasuk, So what is the lesson of Pasuk Lamed? What do we remain with? That Tzadik La'olam Bal Yimot could be interpreted in two ways. That he will never, ever falter, or he will never falter where the falling down is going to be forever. So it's the second pshat, kloimer, afo pishel lefamim atzadik mot. He is mot. And by the way, the lifnei rasha, I can't continue without offering a thought. You could say lifnei rasha means the rasha is pushing him down and destroying him physically. A Stalin, a Hitler, yimach shmai. I mean, all of the little minor petty rishayim in the various medinas, they make our lives miserable. That's mot lifnei rasha. But it's never going to be forever. It's not going to be. And we'll be able to pull ourselves out of it. But tzaddik mot lifnei rasha could mean that the tzaddik is influenced by the rasha. He's brought down by the rasha in a very simple sense. His association with the rasha, the neighboring with the rasha, there are times that a rasha somehow gets to you. And that produces a failure of the tzaddik. And the tzaddik can always bounce back. He can always overcome that failure. Both are true. But the point of the pasuk, according to the Gra, is tzaddik la'olam bal yimot doesn't mean he will never falter. Tzaddik bal yimot, and the yimot should be la'olam. The yimot is never la'olam. Whereas by the rishayim is the opposite. Their success is never forever. The next pasuk lamed, happens to be a pasuk that the Rabbeinu Bechaya in Chumash, remember we always said that the Rabbeinu Bechaya has a psicha, a little essay, if you will, an analysis of a theme before each parsha. Obviously, he connects that theme to the parsha itself. But what's important for us is that he begins always with a pasuk, just like the Darshanim in the time of Chazal. And he begins with a pasuk, it always comes from Ksuvin, just like the Darshanim of old. And in this particular Hazinu, he quotes our Pasuk. Pasuk Lamed Aleph of the 10th Perek. Pi tzadik yonuv chochmov ulishon tapu chos tikores. Let's first see what the Gra says, before we go into the Rabbeinu Bechai. Hapiv shel tzadik tomid medabe chochmos, hu kamayon hanoiveya. Again, skipping the parentheses. Ve'enoi poisik lo'olam. What is the Goyin saying here, I think, is very important. The tzaddik be'etzem is kisifsei kayin yishmeru das v'soira yavakshu mipihu. What does that mean? It means that the kayin's svasayim retain the das. They keep the das. What does it mean, they keep the das? The kayin is not giving out until he's asked. They draw out of the kayin the Torah. The Torah yivakshu mipihu. And then he gives out the Torah. So when we speak about a mayin mizgaber and a nor sheinai paisek, it's as the Gra says, because they're constantly asking and demanding of him more and more Torah. Dosok the Gra, the Lashon, ki hakol rotzin achrov lishmoya Torah v'chochma mipiv. Where did the Goyin get that from this pasuk? In this pasuk says he keeps giving out chochma. The Teretz is because in order for the Kayin, for the chochma, in other words, for the tzaddik, to be maskim to give out Torah, he needs the mevakish. So he says that's because I call Ratzon Achrov Lushoin Tapuchos Tikares Avo Misha Eina Oimer Toras Emes Hu Medaber Tomit Tapuchos V'Choizer Mimeno Mimash Omer Tchila V'Kol Royim She'ein Mamush B'Chochmosoi V'Oizvim Oisoi Hu Mimelo Tikares. It's very interesting also. The Rosh also needs an audience, but for a different reason. Covet. And he's willing to risk his lack of knowledge, because his desire for covet is so great. So he wants desperately to have the audience, so he gets up and he starts to pontificate. He starts to darshan. He starts to give all kinds of pshatim, none of which, of course, hold water, because he doesn't have the yashrus. He doesn't have the clarity. He doesn't have the knowledge. Because all he's interested is using the little bit that he has to lord it over other people. So he says, come to me, I have Eitzes of Torah to give you. But Tikares, because eventually people find out what he's all about, and they abandon him. So Memele, it's Tikares. So he says, Pitzadik Yon of Chochma, because there's a constant Risha to hear more and more. And P, Rishayim, is Lehefech. That's Tikares, because there's a constant desire on the part of the Rasha, but nobody wants to listen. So he loses his audience. And a Memela is nothing to say. The Rabbeinu Bachaya says that Tzaddik and Rasha are opposites. Shnei hafachim. The Diburo shall Tzaddik pri chochma, the Diburo shall Rasha behefach mimenu. Ha Tzaddik nimshala eitz. It says, "V'hoyuk eight shosla apal gimayim asher piryo yitein beito v'alei ulo yibo." For eight might see ole upri. Now he gets a little more complicated. For inyan hazeh, boy tv shehut ba boy kain b'yoyim ashlishi b'maymar tadshe haaretz. Ha'ole, you know, this concept of ole and pri, this is built into the teva from day one. Ha'ala yesh bay ta'elas the leaf ki u megin ala pri betziloi mipnei choyim hashemesh v'apri o yikar v'chein tzadik yesh bay ala upri. A tzadik is nimshal to the eitz, and eitz has an ala, a leaf, and a peri, a fruit. The tzadik is nimshal eitz, he must have also an ala and a pri. What is the ala of the tzadik, and what is the pri tzadik? So he says, Ha'ala shalom hu diburo b'divrei chol b'iske olam hazeh b'musarav v'sipu dvarav. And that's what it says in the Mara Avodah Zarah. He says daf yutes amud beis on the pasuk v'yalehu is leaf lo yibo afilu sichas chulin shel tamid chachamim tzrichotam. That the sichas chulin of tamid chacham itself is remarkably rich with all kinds of Torah. And it requires iyun, it requires discerning, it is something to chase after. So which pasuk do they learn this from, says the Rabbeinu Bechaye? From V'alehu lo yibo. Because that's the ale of the tzaddik, because it's not his Torah itself. And what, of course, is the pri? A pri o ikar? So, of course, the ta'eles of the ale is to protect the pri, and that's the sichas chulin. Ha'pri shalai hu dibura b'tayra b'chachma shehi ha'ikar k'shem sha'pri u'ikar ba'ilon. So he says, mipnei zeh hiskir kan shloimei pi tzadik yon of chachma u'bi'uro ki diburo shal tzadik pri chachma. Now it's interesting. The pasuk doesn't say pri tzadik with a reish between the pei and the yud. It says pi tzadik. And he's not learning that it means pri. His whole Torah he derives from the word Yonuv. You know, there's a company called Tenuva. This is the Tenuva is produce. He says Yonuv means it's Paris that it's producing. Pri tzadik Yonuv chochma miloshon Yeshayo chavzayin umolu pnei sevel Tenuva mitnuva is sodai. So he says mizel inyan bayre nivs fasayim ki adibur prias fasayim. Ubaloima ki atzadik kol kachu margal atzmi ledaber chochma, atchetachzabay a chochma tivis ke priyazeshu ikar ilon. Remarkable thing. He says that Torah becomes second nature to the tzadik. He opens up his mouth and Torah comes out. That's why he made an emphasis that the tree was given this genetic predisposition to produce olim and peiros from the moment of tachi oretz desh esev. What was it, Nogeya? Because since a tzaddik is compared to an eitz, pre-tzaddik eitz chayim, the idea of the tzaddik is like the eitz also in that he has a genetic predisposition to give forth peiros. Remarkable idea, by the way. It's not just, you see, peiros are for others to eat. That's my point. It's not that the tzaddik has Torah. And in this sense, it's almost the opposite of what we just said a moment ago, that the tzaddik contains the Torah and people have to be mevakish. He says the tzaddik is constantly producing for peiros for people to eat. Not necessarily a stira, but it's just a different angle. And he says, "Ki atzadik kol kachu margal atzma ledaber chokma achetasu bechokma tivis." It becomes second nature. Ki pri azeshu ikar ilan. And what is lashon tapuchos? He says, "Lashon tapuchos tikares kares harasha lashon tapuchos ki uahefach min atzadik ki midasay bechol divrei piv beefach min midas atzadik asher piv yonov chokma." Or may Rav Gnois Amida Azois from the knocking down the Midah Shel Rosha Hiskir by Klola for Amar Tikares. Kikain Derech Atayra Lahadvik Brocha Bezichron Tzadikim Uklola Bezichron Rishoyim Hushamar Zechet Tzadik Lebrocha B'Shem Rishoyim Yirkov. You know what he's saying over here? He's saying here that the word Tikares doesn't mean it will be, may it be. An interesting pshat. He says the Goyim learned that it's inevitable. People will abandon him when they discover that he's full of stiras, that he's full of baloney. But the Rabbeinu Bechai says, Tikares Rishoyim, their peh, is deserving of Tikares. It's a klala. May it be Tikares. Why do we do that? So he says it's a fulfillment of Zecher Tzadik Livrocha V'Shem Rishayim Yirkov. Pasuk, of course, that we learned earlier in the same perek. That is a very, very important yesod, and he continues with this theme. V'yadua ki midas ha-shiflus hi-begedar ha-chachma. Humility. V'rosha shekar loshen tapuchos yesh ba midas ha-gaiva. In other words, if the Rosh is the opposite of the Tzadik, then, of course, if the tzaddik has humility, the rasha has gaiva. G'shem she'chochma piryo shel tzaddik, kein ha'gaiva piryo shel rasha. He says an amazing thing. The rasha is also a tree. Ki adam eitz hasoda. And what is the peiros of the rasha? His own gaiva. A very interesting idea. And he quotes a pasuk in Mishlei Perik Yudalit pasuk Gimel, b'fi evil choyter gaiva v'siv se'chachomim tishmurein. Shoyrish ha'gaiva b'libo shel ksil v'onof hu b'fiv. He says, if there is a branch, then it has to have peiros. And the peiros are gaiva ubuz. Fantastic idea of the Rabbeinu Bechai. He says that comparison and the opposite. The comparison of the tzaddik is to an eitz which grows peiros. What is the point of this comparison? Not a moshel ba'alma, but to teach me that the essence of the tzaddik, his very nature, his fundamental being, is Torah and the production of Torah and the activities that Torah inspires. Ad kedei kach that the ola, which is the shomer to the pri, because the pri is so choshev, the ola becomes very choshev mitzad atzmai, because it leads you to the pri. And so the Gemara says that sichas chulin shel tamid chacham in sicha talmud. In the opposite of tapuchos, there's a rasha who's also producing peiros. What are the peiros of the rasha? His gaiva, and all the reflections of that gaiva. What does it mean to compare the tzaddik to the tree? That it's tachio oretz, it's inherent to his being. What about the rasha? If rasha is tapuches of the tzaddik, it means dova v'hifucho. So if it's dova v'hifucho, what is it saying about the rasha? It says about the rasha that the rasha is inherently, innately, genetically predisposed. Now the question is, he was born a rasha? So the Rabbeinu Bechai says, it becomes so much ingrained in him. This desire for covet, this seeking for covet becomes so fundamental that when the Rasha repeats and repeats and repeats, it becomes mamish, a chelek of his very essence. He turns into a tadshe ha'aretz, genetic material for gaiva. It's a remarkable thing. The mahus, the essence of the person, has become the gaiva that he has ingrained in himself. He gave an sha'anaf a gaiva befivd of a baruhu, she yase pri, ki lo yuchal aksili shome mizeh. Avo chachomim sifseyem tishmurei mizeh, v'lo madnu b'kolzeh ki midosa shel arosh legamri behefech, mi midosa shel atzadik, b'chol protei inyonov. That's what he says. Now, in the Karakemach, also from the Rabbeinu Bechaya, he has what I started talking about earlier, Kisif Seikayin Yishmeru Das, that Shesika is really the essence of the Talmud Chacham, and is Vesayra Yevakshu Mipiu. This goes back to what the Goyin was saying also, that when the tzaddik starts to teach Torah, is because the audience is pulling at him. And the more he teaches, the more the audience demands of him, the more the Torah is expected of him. Otherwise, he would remain silent, even though he is an oitzer of Chochmah. Zokta, that again, he quotes a pasuk in Mishlei Yudzayin, and he says, the second line, in the middle of the second line of the Karakemach, Ki menias hadibur Torah, Torah, if you don't talk, it proves al hadas, it proves that you have das. Silence, keeping your tongue, holding your tongue, is an indicator. You know, there's a maisa of a certain Hasidic Rebbe that must, maybe it's a true story, maybe it's not a true story, maybe it's just a marshal. But there was a certain tzaddik, certain Rebbe, that never spoke at a tish, never spoke at a gathering, never spoke at the Siyam HaShas. He never spoke. So they asked him, Rebbe knew, the rabbi once came over to him, or his favorite, his devoted chassid comes over to him. He says, Rebbe knew, this is not a derech. People will come to the maskana that you don't know. So he says, but will they be sure? He says, no, they won't be sure, but they may come to that maskana, because you don't speak, so they may have that thought. It might come, to mind. It might come across as that. No, they won't be sure. He says, when I speak, they'll be sure. So that is not, of course, the agenda of the Karakemach. The Karakemach says that the silence is the sign of a big Talmud Chacham. Very interesting idea. Kiminias hadibur Torah, it teaches you, it indicates, it's evidence of das. Sharei ad sheloi diber ha'odom hadibur biyado. He says, before a person talks, he's a balabas over what he's going to say. The minute he talks, it becomes, oh, if the politicians would only read these lines. This guy Romney, es doch mamish der greste Feld in der Welt. Was redst da sei viel? And every time I happen to mile, is that the Zachen was steigenisht. And the Olam wants him to become president because he cannot take Bechlaunisht. It's a very desperate matzav. What are you talking so much? And they call it a gaff. G-A-F-F-E, I dachzachmir, that's how it's spelled. A gaff. A gaff means it's not really his derech. I am suspicious that it's not a gaff. This is the level. And this is very bad that he's our manig, or he's going to be our manig. We are in big trouble, Rabbi say. Because when a gaff is from a goof, then it's not a gaff. And this is the nekuda, Rabbi say, that the Rabbeinu Bechaya is talking about. Until the dibur gets out, you are the balabos of that dibur. The dibur is biyodai. The moment you say it, lefika chayev shishkalenu tchilu b'meizne sichle v'chakach yetzienu b'mishkal. He has to weigh it and weigh it and weigh it. And even when he weighs it and he wants to bring it out, it has to be with a measure that's very precise. Yetzienu b'mishkal. V'kivun shediber, hareyu k'mishazorak ha'evan shein b'yod l'ashiva. You throw it and you don't know where it's going to land, and there's no way of it's not a boomerang. It's not coming back to you. And that's what it says. Alkein yishbuchu chachomim midas hashesika b'maseches avos perikama kol yomai gidalti b'nei chachomim l'tzos l'guf toiv mishesika. Nothing better than silence, even though it's b'nei chachomim. From a yofish tika l'chachomim kal v'chomim l'tipshim. U'meiroiv godel malas midas hashtika amashloimai gam evil machrish chacham yechoshev. That's what I told you before. Even if he's a fool, but he remains silent, people will consider him a chacham. V'omru chachmei amusa imadibur kesef hashesika zahav. You know the famous expression, mila besela, mashtukisa betrain. Vakeno mashlomi bekan. And then he goes on and on. I don't want to go through the whole thing, but what noigeya to us is that he quotes our pasuk. And that's, I want to move on, so let's just go right to that. V'loshen niv me'inyan tenuva ke'adibur prihas fasayim v'cheno mashloimai pid sadik yonuv chokma v'alkein his yironu shloima alzois she'iye odom choysech amorov v'she'iye yekar ruach b'chol dvorov. He should remain silent as much as he can. V'ashtzika azu afilu b'divrei toira roi odom she'yachsech amorov b'fnei g'doylem mimenu b'chokma al tishada l'fnei melech. In the pasuk of Al Tishadar Lifnei Melech, don't express yourself when you're in the presence of Gedolim B'Tovim. Right? Mona Amida B'Mekoimam. In the pasuk it says you can't even stand in their place. Kal V'Choyma Hadibur. V'Mkein Roi Lonu Shenishtoik. Avol. And this is what I wanted to bring you to. The last words of this Rabbeinu B'Chai. This is exactly the pasuk. Yisif Sekoin Yishmeru Das V'Soyri Vakshem Epiyu. He says, a tzaddik, a chacham, has a tremendous dilemma. He's not allowed to remain silent. The kol yomai gidalti b'ena chachomim v'loi matzasi laguf tov mishesika. But l'maisa, you're mechuyev to give out your Torah. What does it say about the person who's roi lohi roa v'ena moira? Ki rabim chalolim ipil, v'atsumim kol arugya. And if you remain silent, you create a vacuum, and all the fools come in, and they talk and talk and talk. There's a chiyuv for a person to give over masayra. There's a chiyuv for a person to give hadracha. There's a chiyuv for a person to teach Torah. How can you say that you should remain silent? So look at what he says, but the way he formulates it is something special. The last words, five lines from the bottom of that piece, before the Bir Agra. Avo manase, says the Rabbeinu Bachaya, in his Hakdoma, in his Psicha Tahazinu, Shai Amru Razal B'Maseches Chulin, Ha'omnam Ilem, Tzedek yedaberu. Ma umnusa shal odam boilam hazeh, yasa atzmai ki ilayim. Yochoil, says the Gemara, af le divrei Torah kein. In other words, should you remain mute? Should you remain silent, even benoyeh to divrei Torah? Zogda nein. Talmud loimar, tzedek yedaberu. It's remarkable how they use this pasuk. Omnam ilayim. Ilayim, yes. But not when it comes to tzedek. Tzedek yedaberu. He quotes one of the Sprichwerte that they had, that if you're successful, then they will praise you, and if you fail, then they will correct you. Most of the time, the Rabbeinu Bechai is giving a Hagdoma that is connected to the Pshat of a Pasuk. Here, it's like, it's called Rishus. Why is it called Rishus? Rishus, etc., etc. You know, when you bring up somebody to an Aliyah Simchas Torah, Rishus means you're asking permission. The Shaliach Tzibur, Hinini Ha'ani Mimas, is a Rishus. So here, the Rabbeinu Bechai, that's why it's called the Rishus in the Karakema. He is a rishus. It's not the psicha ta'azinu. In each one of his psichas is mefarish apasuk. Here he's trying to say, what right bechlal does he have to teach Torah altogether? Fantastic. Rabbeinu Bechai is giving a prolegomena to everything that he wrote, and he was very prolific, and he covers the gamut of our havana, and he is a very good Talmud to give over the Torah of the Ramban especially, and he had something to say about everything. So he needs a Netilas Rishus. This is one of the Rishus. He has several of them. In the Kara Kemach, in his encyclopedic work on different Midos and different Inyonim, it might have been the first Jewish encyclopedia. But the Kara Kemach is basically an Oitzer Bolam of tremendous Torah and Havana and Yerushamayim. And he feels he needs to be Neitel Rishus. So unlike what he said in the Psicha Ta'azinu, this is not the Psicha Ta'azinu. Here he says, I want to be empowered. So I know that I should remain silent. But I also know that I have to speak. The tension in the tzaddik of speaking, in spite of the fact of loy matzasi laguf tov mishsika, I believe, is expressed in the pasuk ki sifsei kayin yishmeru. Shmira is always when you hold back, when you preserve something. You're called a shomer when you watch over something. The minute you let it out, you let the animal out of the pen, you're not a shomer anymore. What makes a person a shomer is that he's holding on to it. But v'sayra yivakshu mipihu, but they ask. And when the person asks, you have to answer. But how do you answer? You answer with the midah that is inspired by your shesika. So the chachma that comes out is not the superficial, it's not the perfunctory, it's not the glib, it's not you think a thought and 10 seconds later it's out of the door. It comes from a wellspring of knowledge, true, and there's a tremendous desire to convey that Torah, and there's an obligation to convey the Torah. But the locks, like the Erie Canal, you know, till you finally, the water comes to the level where you can give it out, you have a pause and a break and a pause and a break, and in each moment, you know, and that's really the yesod of chokhmah, that it does not come shooting out, you know, of the mouth like a spurt of sudden inspiration. It's digested and it's thought through, and it's you ask yourself, how should I formulate it, and what's going to be the consequence of what I say, and who's going to impact, and does the Talmud fully understand it the way I formulated it? And all of this is in the machshava that goes behind the person who be'etzem is a shaysik. If the person is not a shaysik be'etzem, this will never happen. Comes right out with all of the unpleasant consequences that ensue. So, we go to the next pasuk. If you'll bear with me, Rabbi Isai, even though we won't be able to finish everything, but there's one paragraph at least that I wanted to learn with you from Tzadik HaKayim. And the rest you will do on your own. And Bezes Hashem Bli Neder, we continue with Perik Yud Aleph next week. Sifsei Tzadik Yedun Rotzayim. Sha Tzadik in pa'amim yizdamim shechota neged chaveroi v'tzarech l'ratzaisa yodeya eich l'ratzais. Now, he says like this. A person is a tzaddik, like we said before, he can falter, sheva yipol tzaddik v'kam, he can also do something against his chaver as well. But he knows how to fix it. The rush, on the other hand, it never works. So he says, when a tzaddik realizes he did something terrible, and the fellow sees his sincerity. He's convinced, the other fellow is convinced that this was an aberration, that this is not something he'll ever do again. And then he says, therefore, what's going to happen? The other person is going to realize that this is not sincere, and the other person is going to speak a loshen tapuchos. And then he writes a little bit later, four lines from the bottom of this piece, where the word tapuchos begins the line. Mashiach kosav tzadik loshen yochid ushoim loshen rabin. Kloimar, afshu levad tzadik v'chaveiro rosha v'afilu b'oise cheitu tzadik neged chaveiro. He says, you can sometimes have a situation, and this is brilliant, because the Vilna Gaon says that this pasuk includes the story of Rav and the butcher, which at the end of the Maseches Yuma, the famous story. What happened was that Rav was completely in the right, and the butcher was completely in the wrong. Rav was insulted by the butcher. Now, what should have happened? The butcher should have come to Rav and begged the Rav Mechila. And of course, Rav would have given him that Mechila. All year long, Rav waited for the butcher to come. And it didn't happen, because the butcher was who he was. So even though he insulted Rav terribly in the past, but Hatzmich and Zaitzmich, Rav realized that now is Yom Kippur, is his last chance. And also, as Rav Soloveitchik always taught me, since the Pirkei Rabbi Elazar says that on Yom Kippur we're doimed to Malachim, and one of the things that Malachim is Shalom B'neihem, Isa Shalom B'mroimav, So our business is that we guarantee that on Yom Kippur there's shalom. When you have to guarantee shalom, it doesn't matter who did right and who did wrong. So if the person who did wrong is not coming to you, and you see that it's close to, it's Erev Yom Kippur already, it's close to the door, and the door is about to shut, you have to run to that person and allow him the opportunity to ask for forgiveness from you. And that's exactly what Rav did. Rav was warned. Rav was warned and said, you know, you're going to bring this person's demise because he's not going to ask Mechila and it'll be much worse and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will punish him. And Kachava, he showed up at the door of the butcher and the butcher saw him and started being mezalzel in him again and refused to ask Mechila. Not only did he refuse to ask Mechila, but he was worse than ever. And then he was picking up the cleaver to cut a piece of meat and the cleaver hit him in the head and he died on the spot. But the point of the Gra is that the tzaddik, if he's totally in the right in a situation and the other fellow, the Rasha, is in the wrong, he wants to make shalom, so he goes to the Rasha so that mechila should be possible. That's the derech of the tzaddik. And that's what he says. The last words. Afshehu levad tzaddik. He himself is the tzaddik, the chaveru Rasha, v'afilu ba'oysa chaytu tzaddik, neged chaveru, hu haylech levakish mechila be'emes. Now here, I tell you the truth, I don't have any other way of reading these words, if that's in fact a correct girsa. And I think that the way I read these words just now demand an explanation. The way I explained it, Rav is not coming to ask Mechila from the butcher. How could Rav be asking Mechila from the butcher if there's nothing to ask Mechila for? It's the opposite. He's providing the butcher with the opportunity that the butcher should ask Mechila from Rav. But the butcher is not coming to you, so you go to the butcher, which is an unbelievable madrega. You know, well, he wronged me. I should come to him to allow him an opportunity. But look at the lashon of the Gra. The Gra is much more than that. He says, Afalpi be'oisei chetshu tzadik neged chaveru hu hoylech levakesh mechila be'emes. He says, if a tzaddik comes to a rosh and asks mechila, it isn't necessarily because the tzaddik did anything wrong. So what are we talking about? And what does he mean like the maisa of Rav and the butcher? So unless I'm misreading this in a terrible way, the impression that I have from this girsa is that when Rav came to the butcher, Rav was interested in shalom to such an extent that whatever it took, he would do it. A lot of times, another person has a perspective and he can't budge from that perspective. But you know that he's wrong. So there's two ways of approaching him. One of them is to try to make it clear to him what the emes is. What happens if you can't budge him? What happens if he's so fixed in his way that he cannot see it any other way? By the way, this is such an unbelievable recipe for shalom bayis. You have a husband and a wife and a husband, two chaverim, two partners, it's all shalom bayis. But you have two people and they don't see eye to eye. And each one is convinced that he's right. But one of them is right and the other one is wrong. And the one that's right knows that he's right, even though the other one thinks that he's right. But he knows. In the agenda of shalom, it's the shalom that matters. And whatever it takes. A person can do me an avla, and I could say I'm sorry to that person because they think that they're right. That's a very high madrega. It's a high madrega of humility. It's a high madrega of lowering yourself, of demeaning yourself, actually. But when the goal is shalom, what difference does it make? Who's right if the result is the shalom that's so important? So let you be right. If that's the case, the Goyin says, even when the tzaddik is right, he could ask mechila. If what I'm saying is correct, and I'm not totally confident, but if I'm saying is correct, and that's the proper reading of the Gra, that's how he understood the mice of Rav and the butcher. Now, if we open up a Gemara, just to take a look for a moment, let's take a look at the Lashon of the Gemara. What I want to discover is there a possibility that the words themselves indicate anything one way or the other? That's what I want to know. Gemara on the bottom of that Pei Zayin Amid Aleph in Maseches Yuma, says the following. Rav Havali Milsa Bahadei Dahu Tapcha. Rav had an Asik. We don't know what the Asik was. Havali Milsa. There was an Asik of Rav with a certain butcher. Okay? Also Lekameh. And the butcher never showed up. B'malad Yom B'Kippur Amar Ihu Ezel Ano L'Fiyusei Le. Now listen to those words. Ezel Ano, I will go to be Mephayis him. Now how did I originally read this? I will go and allow him to ask Mechila. But really, when you look at the words L'Fiyusei Le, it sounds like Rav is the one who's going to ask Mechila. Why in the world should Rav go to ask Mechila? Because the stupid butcher, in his rishus and his lack of derech eretz v'torah and his lack of kavtami d'chachamim, he was convinced that he was right. That's the pshat. The asik isn't, I did you wrong and I know I did you wrong, but I'm stubborn and I'm full of hubris and I don't have any need to come to you. It's because I think I'm right. And why should I come to you and ask you mechila if I never did anything wrong? So Rav, realizing that the obstinacy and the absurdity of the butcher warped his thinking, and he thinks he's right. So even though, of course, Rav absolutely knows that he is right, that Rav is right, and that the butcher is really a Rasha, but he comes to the butcher, Erev Yom Kippur, and he's willing to ask the butcher, Mechila, L'fiyusei le. That's the Lashon of the Gemara that I think the Vilna Gaon was medactic on the words L'fiyusei, means not to make shalom, not to seek out shalom, to give the butcher the opportunity for shalom. But L'fiyusei le, he's going to ask Mechila of the butcher. Mechila, begging Mechila of the butcher. What happened? Where are you going? It's Erev Yom Kippur. Where are you going? I'm going, again the word, I'm going to be Mephayis so-and-so. You're going to commit murder. What did he mean? He meant that this is not only not going to work, but that actually it's going to be Moisif, a sal shel ashpa on your head, and the Ribbono Shel Olam will pay him back on the spot. Ozel v'kom eluyei. Ozel v'kom eluyei. He stood over him. I don't even know if the butcher gave him a chance to open up his mouth. He just stood there. The butcher was busy with his cleaver. The minute Rav walked in, and the butcher saw him, the butcher should have said, "Hi, you came to me? That's incredible. Or at least, what is it that you want?" And Rav would have said, "I'd like to ask you mechila. I must have wronged you. There's something that I said. There's something that I did. It's Erev Yom Kippur. I'm asking you mechila." That's the way the Gaon learns. Unbelievable. Zok de Gra, Ozlo Fiyusele means he went to ask mechila. So what happened? V'kameluye, he was just standing there. Nothing happened yet. But in the heart of the butcher, understand what's going on. What happened? Have Yosef the Kapoli Resha Doli Eini Vachasi. He was busy, and all of a sudden he lifts up his eyes. So until then he's standing there and he said nothing. Amalei Abba At Zil Lesli Milsa Bahadoch. He didn't give him a chance to ask Mechila. He says, "You are out of here. I don't want you in my butcher shop." Ba'adi de kapoli reisha shtamit garma. It was a bone that hit him in the head. Before I said it was the cleaver itself, but the Gemara says that it was he cut off a bone. It was meshaber atzamos in the reish of a behema. One of those atzamos came off and flying against him, caught him in the neck and killed him. Umachye bekoye vekatle. So that's the Gemara. Bekoye, says Rashi, begargaroso. It caught him in the neck and it killed him. Bekitza, the Gaon interprets the story of Rav, not that the Sima Shalom requires Rav to go and be Mephayis, meaning that he gets himself in a matzav where the other person could ask Mechila. He says, Ad Kedei Kach, that the Rav is going himself to to ask mechila of the butcher if that's what it takes to make sure. And that's what the Gaon says. Now, if you bear with me just another few moments, there's a Medrash Tehillim. The Medrash Tehillim is a remarkable Medrash because the Medrash says that tzaddikim have the ability to, what's the right word? Lefatoy says bayram. What's pitui? What is the pitui? Pitui ktana oinasu. Oinasu mefata. There's somebody who seduces is called a mefata. They have the koyach to seduce the Ribbono Shel Olam, to make the Ribbono Shel Olam forget the avla. They can overwhelm the Ribbono Shel Olam with affection and a desire for the tzaddik. They can seduce him. It's an unbelievable idea. Shkiyos miyavin minestaros nakeni. Tani Reb Shimon ben Yoichi. Kama giborim heim tzaddikim shem yoidim lefatos es bayram. The Yodim Hechlekalis, they know how to praise the Ribbono Shel Olam. They know how to get to the Ribbono Shel Olam, to get in his good standing. It's a remarkable thing. What does it have to do with us? So they quote our pasuk and they say that tzaddikim are Yodim Lufatay says Bayayem Shenemar Sifse Tzaddik Yedun Ratzayim Abu Rishoyim. That's our pasuk. She'enon yoidim l'ratzis l'kodesh baruch. So the Medrash Tehillim says a remarkable pshat in our pasuk, that when it says in the pasuk, that first pasuk, when it says in that pasuk that tzaddikim have the ability of yedun ratzin, they can fathom the ratzin of the Borei Olam, meaning they know how to be meratzeh him. Not yedun ratzayin that they can understand it, but they know how to seduce the Ribbono Shel Olam. They know, because the word ratzon can be interpreted as desire, but ratzon can also be interpreted as ritzui, like ritzui karbonis. Ye ratzeh l'karban isha l'ashem. Ritzei Hashem l'keinu ba'amchi serov silosam. Beratzayin, ba'avu tekabu beratzayin. Sifsei tzaddik yedun ratzon, they know how to get on the inside the skin kivayochel of the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's a remarkable pshat. Reb Tzadok HaKohen, just to point out to you, he says a remarkable thing. You know, there's a principle called kaifin achi yoyma roitzahani. So the Reb Tzadok HaKohen says, you know, it doesn't have to be that l'chatchila you really want it. Even when they are, he looked at this Medrash Tehillim and he said, you want to know how far it goes? Even if Vayifatu b'fiyam ubalibam, they're not really believed the same. But right after it says, v'hu rachum yichaperav, the pitu is so successful that even if it's just words, and inside they don't really have that, you know, people who are glib and charming and smooth talking, 99% of the time it's baloney. 99% of the time, it's dafka the person who's hesitant in his words and can't get it out, and doesn't know how. He's the genuine article. I remember once, was it a chasana, and in this circle they have a minhag. I don't consider it a valid thing, but they have such a developed such a zach. It's not a minhag rishonim or achronim. I think it's a minhag shel shtus. But anyhow, the chosen and his entourage, they sing Eishes Chayil to the Kala. You know, like they do all kinds of shtick. One of the things they do in these circles is they sing Eishes Chayil to the Kala. To the best of my knowledge, it's not mentioned in the Shulchan Aruch anyway. Anyhow, this chosen was a Segura, you know, a Ketzad Meraktim fellow. You know, Ma Omen B'Faneo. So he decided that he'll do one more. He's going to sing the Eishes Chayil himself, without accompaniment. And, like the knights of ancient England, he gets down on one foot in front of her, on one knee, and he holds his hand out like this, and he starts singing Eishes Chayil to her. And I found the thing to be so totally grotesque, but I said to somebody standing next to me, a Chashuv HaRov, I said, this marriage will not last. And what I meant was that anybody who really loves in a profound way and appreciates in a profound way, that can never be a public expression. It's a stira mineyube, because intimacy is the secret of true and genuine feelings. You cannot have true and genuine feelings expressed publicly. A person could stammer feelings and words of affection, b'chadri chadorim, and it's worth kol hoin da'alma. And a person could write a sophisticated poem and publish it in a newspaper to his wife, and it means nothing. The whole enterprise of b'izgalia is a stira to genuine feelings that are so inherently private. Was darf jener sagen und wissen und hören in my inyanim? What goes on in my heart? Not to mention that the whole inyan is totally bereft of tznius. That's a separate story. But I'm not talking about frumkeit. I'm talking about honesty, integrity. You cannot be really of that feeling and express it in such a public way. That's what I meant. Anybody that's such a baloney artist is not going to be. And they Nochanami, they had tremendous, tremendous Shalom Bayis problems. Finally, they ironed it out. And I think that now he wouldn't sing the Eshes Chayil in public. Not on one knee and not on two feet. But the Untish Teshura is that it's possible that the glib person and the sophisticated person and the person with language and capacity is full of baloney. And the stammerer who can hardly get the words out, the feelings are genuine. What happens if you talk like that to the Ribbono Shel Olam? And he knows. Hashem Yira Lalevav. Is there anything to it? Or the Ribbono Shel Olam give a guy a patch and say, Arayst von Danet, you faker, you baloney artist. Zog Treb Tzadik HaKoyin HaMoyridik HaDaher in that Tehillim, Medrash. In the Medrash Tehillim Vayfatu. That even when you're Mefata and you don't mean it in your heart, the Ribbono Shel Olam may hear it nevertheless. Yehelt HaMaisa. UBisrael Gam Dobo Zeh Toif. BiYisrael Gam Dobo Zeh Toif. Because it says, is willing to even if he hears the words and he knows that inside there's nothing. It's pilei ployin. Another person, another melech would give the guy a zetz, a hoist fundanent. You fraud, you. So he says, the pasuk says, sifsei tzadik yedun rotzin. V'kibalti apirish. Listen to this. The Reb Tzadik HaKohen, I mean, from Lublin, the pre-tzadik, he says, V'kibalti, I have a masaira from my Rebbeim. You heard that? What is the pshat of this pasuk? Sifsei tzadik yedun rotzin. Remember, I told you at the beginning of the shiur that it's very, very superficial. The whole shiur is devoted to this nekuda. Pi tzadik yedun rotzin means a certain meaning that we would never guess at. When we look at the pasuk at the beginning of the shir, before the shir, it's just another pasuk that tzaddik is good, rasha is bad. Bunch mandra ni bunch gubi. You go to Reb Tzadik HaKohen and you come to the exact opposite understanding. That this pasuk is telling us soidus of how HaKadosh Baruch Hu relates to the tefillahs of Klal Yisrael. Unbelievable madregas in how HaKadosh Baruch Hu relates to Yisrael. And what does he say? He says, the gam, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees she'ein ritzoin libo yadayin l'zeh hadibu b'peh l'toiv she'nikra sifsei tzadik mayil l'lamid u'lahamshich ritzoin l'leiv gam kein. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is willing to wait when he hears the tzadik talk and not the tzadik feeling. He's willing to wait for the tzadik feeling. You know why? Because the tzaddik feeling is not there yet because of the Yetzer Hara. But the emes, the rotzayin behind that is already there. And there's a willingness to accept that rotzayin halev that is yet to come. And that's what he says. And that's what he talks about. Yankov and Esav. It's a very beautiful pshat.